Good morning, little guy. Here once again with the good news of the gospel. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world. Don't you know, many people don't. In these dark days in which we find ourselves, many people ignorant, you know, concerning God's Word, concerning the person of the Son of God, offer to you a copy of God's Word, Gospel of John, an extract from the Bible. Here you can read, study, meditate upon the person of God's Son, get to know Him, what He's like, His loveliness, His kindness, gentleness, and of course His great power to save. This was written, the Bible says, that you might know, that is, that you might not be left in ignorance, but that you might know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing that you might have life in His name, eternal life, that is. My sheep, they hear My voice, they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, He says, and they shall never perish. Whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Through faith in the Son of God, in the way of repentance, something that is from our sin, all we know to be sin, and turning from that sin, and turning to Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior. We're here today testify in all the things that we know, that we have experienced, that we have come to the knowledge of ourselves, sinners ourselves, you know, but saved sinners, saved by the grace of God. God in His kindness, God in His mercy came to us and opened our eyes, you know, gave us spiritual sight, enabled us to, brought us to an awareness, the reality of our sin, our condition, and of course to the reality of our need of the Lord Jesus Christ. No other Savior, no other way back to God from the dark paths of sin, only through Jesus Christ, my Savior. So the Word of God here for the guy today, prophet, the Old Testament, he says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Break up your fallow ground. There's a need I perceive here in the town of Mogai today amongst the inhabitants. There's a need for some plowing. We live in days, a day and generation where the Christian religion's at a very, very low ebb. Times of extreme and dangerous apostasy, departure from God. And it's for that reason that the Bible says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth, hold down the truth, suppress the truth in unrighteousness, that is, in their wickedness, in departing from God. And of course, in many cases, many instances, given over to what the Bible calls a reprobate, a debased mind. Men and women doing these things that are not convenient, not fitting, that is, for animals to do, never mind human beings. But such insanity, such madness, such apostasy, such darkness comes about because of our departure from God. Hardness of heart. Time to break up the fallow ground. Some plowing that's needed. Men and women in their own self-righteousness. Lord Jesus never had anything at all to say to the self-righteous. He said he came for the brokenhearted, came to set the captives free, came to release the oppressed. All kinds of people that Jesus came for and ministered to, but he never ever had a single word for the self-righteous. Self-righteous in your own eyes. Need for some plowing, my friends, I believe. You think, Martin?
You're bothering people here.
I know, sir. That's what I'm here for, sir. I'm here to bother you. I'm here to upset you. That's what I'm here for. That's my God-given task as a minister of the gospel. First of all, to upset you, and then once you're upset, tell you of how you can find peace with God and the peace of God. But you must need to be upset first. You need to be convicted of your sin. You need to be convicted of righteousness, judgment. You need to be awakened to the reality of your sinful state and condition. And that's not pleasing to natural men and women. That's not pleasing to any of us. It upsets us. It disturbs us. To disturb the peace, that indeed is what we're here for today, my guy. Because the peace that you're enjoying presently, naturally, is a false peace. It's not the peace of God. It's not because you have peace with God. But first of all, we have to break up the fallow ground. We've got some plowing to do. And the plowing that needs to be done, well, we need a very, very sharp blade in order to do the plowing. Because so hardened are the hearts of men and women in Scotland today. Soft and smooth words will not accomplish it. Soft and smooth words are what you hear in your churches, in the Church of Scotland today. They don't believe in and they don't preach the doctrine of sin. They don't tell men and women what they need to hear. They speak smooth words to them, soft words to them. But what Scotland needs today, it needs plowing. It needs the fallow ground to be broken up. It needs a sharp blade. It needs the plowing of God's law, of God's commandments. Mr. Moses did not come to save. The law came by Moses, the Bible tells us, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. But Mr. Moses, he can't save you. No, he's a schoolmaster. He's a schoolmaster with a big stick in his hand. And if you don't do what he tells you to do, he'll beat you with the stick. You see, his purpose, his calling was not to save sinners, but to educate them, to be a schoolmaster, to break up the fallow ground, to shred the self-righteousness of men and women. To bring them to that place of seeing that they were lawbreakers, alienated from God, commandment breakers, alienated from God, from the covenant of God's grace, from the peace of God, alienated from all, everything, anything that's good that God sets before us. So we need to break up the fallow ground. We need the sharp blade of the law. We need the commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Not the gods of heathendom. Not the gods of the rabbis. Not the gods of the imams. Not the gods of the popes of Rome. One God only. God is one, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The living God, the true God, the maker of heaven and earth, the mighty God, the almighty, who stretched out the heavens and who formed the earth, that God, the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Holy Scripture, that God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Not the gods of heathendom, and not the gods of your imagination, not the Jesuses of your imagination either. Oh, I hear many people, they tell me, they believe, they subscribe to the name of Jesus. When I get to talking to them, I find, I discover, they're not talking about the same Jesus that I'm talking about. They're not talking about the Jesus of the Bible. I mean, even Islam, even they'll talk to you about Jesus, but they deny Him. They say that they believe in Him, but they deny Him. They deny that He's the Son of God. And they deny that He died on the cross, shed His precious blood for sinners. They have no atonement. There's no salvation in Islam. There's no blood sacrifice. Moses says that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. There can be no forgiveness. They deny the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no salvation. There's no forgiveness. There's no remission of sin there. But God Himself, you see, has provided the necessary blood sacrifice, His own Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and would take Melchizedek's sin away today, should Melchizedek, that is, put their trust wholeheartedly in Jesus, in the Son of God, in the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. But before we get there, we've got to break up the fallow ground. We need to get the blade of the law working. Thou shalt know other gods before me, I tell you. There is no other God. There is no other God than Jesus Christ. He is the true, living and only God, creator of heaven and earth, the God of providence and the God of redemption. No other God but Jesus Christ. Him that you must worship. I bid you this morning, fall down on your knees, worship, adore Him, trust in Him absolutely with all your heart, and you shall be saved. Thou shalt know the God before me. And of course, well, the other commandments. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. I wonder what Mulgai gets up to on a Sunday. That's the day we call the Lord's Day, the Sabbath, the Christian Sabbath. It wasn't given to you. It wasn't given you for work. It wasn't given you for the marketplace. It wasn't given you for football matches, for sport, pleasure, and leisure. It's God's day. And the day when you should be in His house, worshipping and praising Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. But that you have no desire. You have no desire for such a rest day. You passed the law some years ago. No longer would the Sabbath day be observed in the land, in the United Kingdom. And now, what's the result of it? What have you got left? Well, now you're working 24/7. Now you complain, I've got no rest, I have to work 7 days a week. Because you gave up. You gave up the Sabbath day. You said you didn't want it. You said it was a curse to you. You said it wasn't a blessing to you. But it was a day given to you. And you might, in God's house, that you might come and hear the word of salvation. That you might hear the word of God. Instead of indulging in your own pleasures and continuing on in your labors. So you see, there's another transgression of God's law in your land, in Scotland today, and doubtless in Mulgai too. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why? Because it's holy and it comes from a holy God. And God will require this at your hands also. He will require of you in that day of judgment. What did you do with the day that I gave you? To seek me. To come and to enjoy resting in my Son Jesus Christ, but you would have none of it. Sabbath breakers, law breakers, idolaters, And then, of course, well, there's the subject of authority, you know. Honor thy father and mother, the very basis for all authority in the land. But nothing right across the board, nothing but rebellion, nothing but anarchy, even in the realms of government. And right down to the man, the common man in the street, nothing but rebellion, nothing but transgression against the authority of God. You see, here's the problem. You know that when you're a child, if you don't learn to obey the authority, submit to the authority of God, well, you'll never submit to any other authority either. That's why you've got a rebellious nation, rebellious hearts and attitudes. Who is God the Lord that I should bow to his authority? Well, he's that. He's God the Lord. He's the Almighty. He's your Maker. And he requires submission. He requires you to bow to his authority. But that you don't do so, that you don't submit yourself to the Most High, another commandment broken. Another sin to answer for in that day of judgment. Your rebellion against God and against his holy law. Because you see, this is the standard by which in that day you're going to be judged by. Not by your standard, not by the standards of the government, not even by your own standards. But is it not a truth, my guy? You got your own standards. Oh, doubtless your own standards of morality. You decide what's right and wrong, you know. But you don't even keep up to your own standards, never mind God's. But in that day when God judges you, this is the standard by which he'll judge you in that day. Not the standard of the state, not your standards, not your family dictates. You'll be judged by God's holy, righteous standards in that day, and judged to be lawbreakers, coming short of the glory of God. Sin abounds in Mogai today. Break up the fallow ground. Meditate, if you will, upon God's law yourself. The Ten Commandments. Read them. Exodus chapter 20. Meditate upon them. Read them. Come back and tell me that you've never broken one of them. Come back and tell me that God has nothing against you. Come back and tell me that you've kept those commandments perfectly from your heart all the days of your life. Impossible. Not a man, not a woman, born of a woman who has ever accomplished that, save one, that is my Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, here's the problem, my friends. Here's the problem. You were conceived in sin, says God. In your mother's womb, that's where the sin begins. Conceived in sin, and then 9 months later, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, in lawlessness, ready to perform your lawless deeds, living in rebellion against God, against his authority, and against his law. That's what he has against you. That you're a sinner by nature and you're a sinner by practice, breaking every one of God's commandments, every one of them. And then that day God will judge you. God will judge you for that. Your nature passed on to you through natural generation, all the way back to Adam, the first man, who brought sin into the world and death by sin. And now by natural generation, through the generations, the sin disease has passed on. One generation after another, sin growing, developing all the time, right to the very end. And then when the cup is full, when you've filled up your cup, God will take you to judgment. And then when the cup of the world's sin is filled up then, he'll come in judgment of the world. But now's the time, my friends, now's the time to get that awareness of sin in you, to break up the fallow ground. Meditate upon those commandments of God and see what kind of a sinner it is that you are in reality. And it is that God has against you, what he's going to judge you for. But of course, no matter how much Moses talks to you about his law, he can't save you. He can't save you. All he can do is bring you to that place of, well, absolute despair. That's his job. That's the task that was given to Moses, to shred your self-righteousness, to bring you to that place of absolute and utter despair. Well, what am I to do? What am I to do? Only then can I point you away from Moses and point you to the Lamb of God, Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and would take yours away too. Should you, that is, but believe, trust in him. But we got some more commandments. You know, thou shalt not commit adultery, which covers not just the breaking of the marital bonds, fornication, sodomy, lesbianism, all the deviant sexuality that's so abroad in your society today. Every form of sexual immorality known to you. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Is that you? Huh? Like I say, friends, or rather, God says, thou shalt not do the dirty, thou shalt not commit adultery. But this is a wicked and adulterous generation, is it not? Such perversion, such deviance fills Scotland today. You know, and people come, they point at my sign next to me here that says God is angry with the wicked every day. And they ask me the question, they say, why is God angry? And I think to myself, you know, that when they ask that question, I think to myself that she's provoking God to more anger. I mean, how can you ask that question? Look at the adultery, look at the uncleanness, look at the lawlessness, look at the idolatry. Look at the lawlessness that abounds in Scotland today, my friends. And you ask the question, why is he angry with the wicked every day? I tell you, he's furious. He's burning. And one day, that unmitigated, implacable wrath and anger will burn against you for all eternity unless you get right with God. Not through the law. Not through keeping the commandments, but by believing faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, came into the world to save such, to save sinners, to save lawbreakers. But we've got to get you to the place of being awakened to the reality of your sin, of your true condition, and of your desperate need of the Son of God. I tell you, no guy, you need Jesus more than you need to breathe. He's your greatest and your deepest need. To trust in Jesus Christ for forgiveness, pardon, for eternal life. The Son of God who loved sinners and gave himself for them, made the way by which men and women could be saved. Possibility is there. If thou canst believe, says Jesus, everything is possible to the one, to him that believeth. But faith, that's what's required of you. Faith in the Lord Jesus. Faith in the Son of God. The lovely, mighty Son of God. Strong and mighty to save the worst and the best of you here in Mogai today. We have another commandment we could talk about. What about thou shalt not kill? By any means, the taking of life. Life is God's to give and God's to take. It's sacred to God, not man's. Not man's place to take life. Not by means of abortion, and not by means of what you call euthanasia. It's a strange phenomenon, is it not? The word euthanasia, it means good death. There's no such a thing as a good death outside of Jesus Christ. Because apart from Jesus Christ, you're faced with the most horrible death. The worst death imaginable. You're faced with everlasting death. So away with the word, away with the term euthanasia. Oh, end of life care. That's what they call it now. God calls it killing. God calls it murder. Since the Abortion Act was passed in 1967, Thatcher and her government, something like 12 to 13 million children, unborn, voiceless children, have been slaughtered in the name of abortion in this nation. You're a nation with blood on your hands. You're a nation steeped in the blood of innocent children. Unborn children slaughtered in the name of abortion on the altar of your sexual pleasure. Oh, says the woman, I can't be having a child. I've got work to do. I've got my education to see to. I can't be bothered raising a child at this stage in my life. So kill the thing. Kill the thing, she said. My friend, for these breaches of God's law and many, many more, God will hold you to account. Jesus says that you will give account in that day for every idle word that you speak. Never mind these gross breaches of God's commandments. Break up the fallow ground. Oh, that you might be brought to see it. That you might be brought to a realization of your spiritual and moral condition before God. That God, in His grace, would be merciful to you, awaken you, disturb you, yes, disturb your peace, and give you no peace until you find it under the shadow of the cross of His Son, Jesus Christ. The only place where true peace is to be had is to be found. So to yourselves in righteousness. Righteousness. The righteousness that you need to enable you to stand before God in that day with confidence. A righteousness not of your own. When you stand before God in that day of judgment, you need a righteousness. You need an alien righteousness. You need the righteousness of another. The righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. That righteousness. Because here, says God, your righteousness is, He says, they're like filthy rags. They're like filthy rags in His sight. Untouchable to God. No, sir. You shush. So as I say, my friends, righteousness, the righteousness of God. Where do you find the righteousness of God? In the gospel alone. Jesus Christ, He's the righteousness of God. He's the one, the only one, who lived that perfect, that blameless life. In Him is no sin. He performed righteousness to the uttermost. That's what qualified Him to be a Savior. That's what qualified Him to go to that cross and to die in the place of others. Because in Him there was no sin. The perfect Lamb of God, perfect Son of God. And when you believe, when you trust in Him, you see, God reckons His righteousness to your account. Through faith, you see, He, Jesus, who knew no sin, He was without sin, was made sin, because the sin of the world was laid upon Him, that when you trust in Him, when you truly believe in Him, His righteousness is made unto you, reckoned to your account, through faith. Not works, not your doing, not any righteous deeds of yours. Grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from works, any works at all. You have no good works. God's testimony, God's indictment against you, my guy, is, He says, in His word, there's none good, and there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Or you may claim to have good deeds, but if your good deeds are not according to God's law, and done through faith in Jesus Christ, they're not good works at all. They're bad, they're evil, they're sinful works. So you see, you have nothing, absolutely nothing to bring. You must come to Jesus. You must come to His cross. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to Thy cross I cling. Nothing. Nothing to offer. Because all we are, friend, all we are is nothing but walking, breathing, talking lumps of sin. It's in your DNA. It's in your nature. It's the very fabric of your being. Sin is what you are. You've nothing, I tell you, to offer God. What could you possibly offer to God as a gift, as a sacrifice for your sin? Nothing at all. Jesus did it all. Jesus accomplished everything. God so loved the world. He also loved His creation. They sent His only begotten Son, God's gift to the world. And what did we do? What did we do with Him? We took Him and we nailed Him to a cross. We cried, all of us, with one voice. We said, away with Him. Crucify Him. Oh, you see, I wasn't there. I didn't do that. Yes, you were. Yes, you were. You were there. I was there. We were all there. One voice, away with Him, crucify Him. That's what we did with God's precious gift of His Son. Nailed to a cross, and by that very means, in the will of God, the means by which we can be saved from our sins, by His dying on that cross, taken by the hands of wicked and cruel men, nailed to that cross, bled and died, took the curse that lies upon us, took the wrath of God upon Himself, so that the sinner who truly believes in Jesus and Jesus only, trusts only in Jesus, not a shred of yourself. Self must be forsaken. Some people will tell you, this is a free salvation. I tell you otherwise. I tell you this is a salvation that will cost you everything. Because unless you're willing to forsake all, including yourself, you cannot be my disciple, says Jesus. Yes, sir, there was mockers. Yes, sir, there were mockers under the cross. There was mockers there too, sir. You'll regret that mocking one day, sir.
I hope so.
I hope so, yeah, I do. I hope so, sir. God bring you to your knees before you answer for it. Nothing in your hand you bring. Simply to His cross you cling. The only hope of the nations, the only hope of Mogai. Your only hope, Mogai, today
cross of God's Son, Jesus Christ, the only manifestation of God's love in all creation. Turn, look where you will in the wild. Nothing but the evidence of the wrath of God. Nothing but wrath. So where do I turn? Where do I go? Where do I go to see the revealed love of God? To the cross. There's nowhere else. It's there that you find the righteousness of God. Christ who died for the ungodly, who died for sinners, who rose again from the dead, believing, trusting in Jesus Christ and what He has accomplished. You get reckoned to your account the righteousness of God by faith and by faith alone. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And then in Scotland, then in Logie, then we'll see the fruit. Then we'll see the fruit of righteousness. Then we'll see holy living. Then we'll see men and women who respect God, stand in awe of the Almighty. Men and women who revere His name instead of blaspheming His name. Then we'll see men and women who care for the unborn, care for the terminally ill. Then we'll find people who respect the gift of human sexuality that God has given to us to use, to operate within the bounds of holy matrimony. Only then will we see the fruit of righteousness. When you've been accounted, reckoned righteous by faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But it all comes, Mulgai, in the way of repentance, the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Kingdom of righteousness, grace, love, glory. A kingdom is only entered in the way of repentance. Let the wicked forsake his way. His way of living, his lifestyle. Anarchy against God. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Thinking's wrong. Mindset's wrong. The world view is wrong. Needs to be changed deep within the heart. Align your thoughts with God's thoughts. Think his thoughts after him. Then you find the mind changing. Then you find the heart changing. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. A turnaround. Deep within the human soul. A mighty change. Caused only by the grace of God. The mighty grace of God working through the gospel. You must, says Jesus, you must be born again. A gracious supernatural operation of God in the soul, bringing the life of God into your soul and the love of God into your heart, changing your very nature, taking the hatred for God and your neighbor out of you. And giving you a love for God and a love for your neighbor. Oh, change, I tell you. A fantastic change. A miraculous change. That's what's needed. Religion doesn't do it. Religion doesn't cut it. Religion, dead religion, my friend, does nothing for you. The mosque, the temple, the synagogue, the Church of Scotland, in its apostasy, nothing but deadness there. Nothing at all. It's life that you need, life from the dead, only to be found in Christ. I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. But you will not come to me that you might have life. There's life to be had in Jesus, but you won't come to him that you might have that life. So you remain in your deadness, You remain in your trespasses and sin. You remain accountable to God under the judgment, the wrath of God. Every single day that you live, it hangs over you like the sword of Damocles, waiting to fall upon you at any God-given moment and whisk you out of this world into the presence of the Almighty. It's appointed unto man once to die. After that, says the atheist, end of story. Finito. Nobody knows. Nobody ever came back to tell us. Yes, they did. Jesus did. And he tells us clearly and plainly, it is appointed unto man once to die. After that comes the judgment. Then you stand before God and you give account of all your lawless deeds of your sinful nature. You give account of it all in that day, but you know these things. You have the knowledge of God in you. You're a morally accountable creature, you know that. You know that you're going to give account one day to somebody. You might not be quite clear as to who, but I'm here to tell you. I'm here to inform you, to enlighten you. It's God. He's the one who'll judge you in that day. Day has been appointed. Day has been appointed. And the judge has been appointed. Judge Jesus. By dint of his resurrection from the dead, he will judge the world. Every human being. He will judge us all. We must all appear before the judgment throne of God. But that judgment for you could be faced with confidence, even with joy, even with an expectancy of eternal glory, if that is you were to repent and believe the gospel. But that you must do before you breathe your last, before you go out of this world. Too late then. Now is the time, now is the accepted time, says God. Now is the day. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as many, many have done in the past and do today. No, don't make things worse for yourself. Go home, if you will, and think about these things. Take home with you a copy of God's Word, if you will. Read and meditate upon it. Get on your knees, shut your door, lock it. Get on your knees and cry out to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And give him no rest until he comes to you, until you know that you've been forgiven, until you know that heaven is yours. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the only Savior, there is no other. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall not be disappointed, shall not be ashamed. But in that day, if you do not believe, you do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, in that day you will be covered in shame. Your sins, every one of them, thoughts, words, and deeds will be published across the universe for all to see. Everything that you ever did, covered in shame and disgrace before the whole of creation. But were you to repent, were you to turn, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. God now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Whether you come from Ogai or you don't, he calls all men everywhere to repent. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If you were to repent and believe the gospel, peace with God would be your portion, and the peace of God in your heart and mind would be your lot. And in that day when God judges, it will be a judgment of commendation, not condemnation. It will be a well done, my good and faithful of faith servant. It's faith that saves you, see. It's faith that's the governing factor. You must believe, but you must believe the right thing. You must put your trust in Jesus, who died for sinners and rose again from the dead. You must believe in Jesus and Him alone. So I bid you today, Mulgai, call upon you this day. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your confidence in Him. Confide in Him. The word means with faith. Confide with faith. Be with faith in Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Faith in the Son of God to believe. By faith to make Jesus your own. Take Him as your Savior. To as many as received Him, to them that believed on His name, He gave them the right to become, the power to become children of God. Believing totally, absolutely, completely, believing on Jesus Christ for salvation, full and free. Okay, on your knees, cry out to King Jesus. Cry out to Him today, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And do it. Do it before it's too late. Now is the accepted time. Now is the only time you've got. You haven't got tomorrow. You haven't got next week. You haven't got next year. You haven't even got tonight. You've only got now. Tonight. Tonight you can be gone from this world. Now. Bend the knee. Submit. Yield. Raise the white flag to King Jesus. Submit to Him before His cross. Son of God who loved sinners and gave Himself for them. Repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Repent ye and believe the gospel, my God. Repent ye. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You'd like to have a copy of God's word? Read for yourself. Study and meditate upon the lovely person of the Lord Jesus. Like a copy of God's word, it's offered to you freely. No cost, no obligation to you. You would like one, you come and ask for one. May God bless you, my guy. Bless you and have mercy. Mercy, I say, upon your precious, never dying souls.